The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazines. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies magazines. I do subscribe to five, although sometimes we are a little heavy on one kind or another. It all depends on what shows up when. This one from First for Women, Fa La 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 La, look at these holiday savings. Santa would be the first to say that making holiday memories shouldn't break the bank. We asked pros to reveal simple ways that you can save on holiday expenses, and they delivered. Before you start shopping this year, which it's probably too late for that, look back at your previous year's holiday spending, says Bobby Rebel, personal finance expert at CardRates.com. Make note of where you got the best deals and where you may have acted impulsively, and use it as a blueprint to stay on track with this year's budget. Pay less for trees. When looking for a live Christmas tree, I search Walmart, where prices can start as low as $20 for smaller trees, and Ace Hardware stores. They typically offer coupons for at least 10% off that can be used on trees, said Trey Bodge, money-saving expert at TrueTray.com. Another way to save, wait until a few days before Christmas, then tree lots start feeling the pressure to clear their inventory. For faux trees, the best time to snag a deal is right after Christmas. But just think of all the years ahead when you won't need to shell out a dime for your tree. We got almost 30 years out of a tree that we bought the day after Christmas. Thrift for wrapping and gift boxes. Surprise, many thrift stores sell quality paper during the holidays. That's because big box stores donate never-opened items, like wrapping paper, to local thrift stores once the season ends, says lifestyle blogger Gabby James. The thrift stores then sell them the following year for half the price. You can also pick up cute baskets and old-fashioned tins for a dollar or less, then add colorful tissue paper and have gifts that look luxe for next to nothing. And click on Deals on Decor. Known for its 40% off one item coupon, Joanne Fabric, which is also called Joanne, is a great place to visit for holiday decor. A tip that's not so well known? You might get better deals by shopping online for some of the same items that they sell in the store, says Joni Diemer, co-founder of CrazyCouponLady.com. For example, last year Joanne offered the Bloom Room Pine Holiday Garland for $49 in store, but it was just $19.99 on their website. And a Merry Christmas doormat was $7.99 online, down from $19.99 in the store. Free curbside pickup means you won't even need to pay delivery fees. You can order it online at the cheaper price and then still pick it up at the curb. From Real Simple, the books list, top picks for book club and beyond. And they offer several options, as they always do. First, A Married Life Drama, Carew. The daughter of Chinese immigrants and Nate, the son of a white working class family, are a married couple who invite their parents on a trip to Cape Cod. It's not relaxing. A few years later, just the two of them vacation in the Catskills, but this trip has its own surprises. The couple's attempt to negotiate family pressures and personal desires makes Rental House, which is the title of the book, by Weike Wang, W-A-N-G, an insightful, delightfully snarky book, and just saying, it might give you an ideal escape from your own extended family over the holidays. This one, a little book of wisdom called Still Life at 80, the new memoir by celebrated author Abigail Thomas, that's T-H-O-M-A-S, is a clear-eyed examination of aging. In her trademark vignettes, she describes daily life spent mostly amid the comforts of home with her dogs. She takes on tough subjects, like her weakening body and the deaths of close friends, while also illustrating how memories from youth can feel as vivid as the present. This exquisite slim volume, encapsulating a lifetime of lessons learned, is meant to be savored. Next, a timely saga called No Place to Bury the Dead by Corina Sainz Borgo, that's B-O-R-G-O, translated by Elizabeth Breyer, features Augustus, who flees her home in an unnamed Latin American country when a plague strikes. Her children soon die on the journey. The cemetery where she buries them, in a crime-ridden town, is part of a land dispute, and the site becomes a surreal blur of good and evil. This inventive novel and its fierce protagonist demonstrate how books help us empathize with issues we might only know through headlines. Next, romance with a touch of suspense called Pictures of You by Emma Gray, G-R-E-Y. Evie Hudson wakes up in a hospital bed with no idea how she got there. The last thing she remembers is being 16 at a high school party with her best friend. Yet, according to the people around her, it's 13 years later and she's just survived the crash that killed her husband. When her memory doesn't snap back, a chance encounter with a photographer who has a past of his own might be the only thing that can help her. This is a riveting tearjerker with depth. Next, Tale of a City. Richard Price, the author, P-R-I-C-E, writes books, TV scripts, and movies that examine modern urban life. In his latest novel, Lazarus Man, he zooms in on a Harlem neighborhood in 2008 after an apartment building collapses. As the lives of various people, a man who becomes famous for miraculously surviving, a detective fixated on finding a missing resident, an aspiring street photographer, intertwine, the story provides both a page-turning plot and a vibrant portal of a community in flux. Next, a gripping historical fiction, Fabienne Josaphat is the author, J-O-S-A-P-H-A-T, in the book Kingdom of No Tomorrow. Opens in Oakland, California in 1968. Nettie Beaulieu has started working with the Black Panthers' free health clinics, providing medical care to locals. She falls for Melvin, one of the organization's captains, and they travel to Chicago to help build the movement. But there she discovers that her own rights as a woman demand a separate fight. Told through characters who leap off the page, this novel beautifully personalizes a critical point in our nation's history. Next, a twisted yarn. Already an award winner in Britain, Marie Tierney is the author, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Marie's Deadly Animals is the book, is a creepy novel centered on Ava, a young teen with a strange hobby. She sneaks out of her house in the middle of the night to study roadkill. Sounds gross, but she has a true biologist's eye and an earnest interest in her specimens. Things take a turn when she comes across the body of a missing classmate. Her determination to hunt down what happened to him makes for a thrilling read with surprisingly tender moments. And a wild love story. In Elizabeth Moss's debut novel, that's M-O-S-S, Enola is almost 30 and struggling with, well, everything. Her writing career isn't going well, and she's desperate to find a life partner. When she meets the one in her writing group, their physical connection is instant. Soon, though, the parts of him she fell for, his mysterious nature, his elusive moods, turn dangerous. What's it like in words, is the name of the book, is about more than crawling out of a bad relationship. This smart, moody book speaks to the power of discovering your self-worth. From Magnolia, some stocking stuffers. We asked Instagram, what's your favorite stocking stuffer you've ever received? Here are a few of our favorite responses. There's maybe a dozen here. Measuring spoons. You know, everybody needs those. Bird identification guide for my state. A Magnolia Journal subscription. Light up tweezers. My mom always puts tickets to musicals or concerts inside of mine. My favorite. a book of stamps, that's always a goodie, an orange to remind us to be thankful for the small things, homemade coupons from kids, movie night with mom, ice cream date with dad, always a hit, flower seeds and gardening hand tools, a snow globe, and homemade strawberry jam. I'll tell you what, I'd be happy to get almost any of those, or all, in my stocking. It's not big enough to hold them all, but those are some good ideas. From Real Simple, minor issues, major opinions. Is it okay to leave a party without saying goodbye? Everyone's got thoughts, so they polled their readership. Readers have two different schools of thought, and then they've got an expert's opinion. The two thoughts here from readers are, what's the big deal, and you have to say bye. So under the what's the big deal, we've got three opinions. I think a lot fewer people would leave without saying goodbye if people would just let us leave without making us feel bad. And I read, it's better to leave without saying goodbye so you don't prompt others to desert too. And hosts would spend all their time greeting and goodbying. And the other school of thought, you have to say bye. Here are three. The host had the kindness to include you. The least you can do is thank them. Next, you don't need to make the rounds to each guest, but you do need to thank the host and say goodbye. And what if something happens and you never see each other again? How sad. And the experts weigh in. Let's all say goodbye to the phantom farewell. If there's a host, you have to thank them, says Micah Meyer, author of Modern Etiquette Made Easy, a 5-step method to mastering etiquette. Otherwise, it can come across as ungrateful, she says, and feelings could be hurt. Kevin Chapman, Ph.D., director of the Kentucky Center for Anxiety and Related Disorders, adds that sneaking out could seem like avoidance and make you feel like you didn't meet a personal standard, which could then make you worry others think less of you. Of course, sometimes we're just done. Studies have found that humans have finite resources for social interaction. After hours of being on, who wants to sink more energy into a long goodbye? The solution? Start by not stressing about any awkwardness. What's most meaningful to the host is that you made the effort to be there, Meyer says. Next, catch your host's eye and wait for a break in conversation if they're chatting with a guest. Quickly thank them, tell them the party was fabulous, and make a polite excuse for a quick exit, like you need to relieve the sitter. Research has shown that giving a reason lands better than if you just say, I have to leave, says Alexis Franzis, Ph.D., associate professor of sociology at Elon University. If you really have to skip the goodbye, Meyer says a text is okay. The script can be short and sweet. I had to go. Everybody was having such a lovely time, and I didn't want to interrupt. You can use the same tactics with any friends you'd want to say goodbye to. All good. From Good Housekeeping, simplify holiday cleanup. Put these ideas to work to streamline the post-hosting restoration. First, fortify your furniture. Before guests arrive, give sofas and dining room chair cushions a spray of stain repellent, and then air dry to help make liquid spills easier to blot and stains easier to remove. Stop dirt at the source. Put mats both outside and inside your home's exterior doors to grab grime from soles before it can stain carpets and damage wood floors. And try a sticky solution. Grab a tacky lint roller to pick up bits of tinsel, shards of broken ornaments, or spilled glitter quickly and safely. This one's from First for Women. When I have insomnia, I help myself fall asleep by, and all their readers have, weighed in on this. Here are a bunch of ideas. Counting back from 300 by threes. Squeezing both earlobes as hard as possible. It doesn't hurt. And holding for a slow count of 60. You will fall asleep in 10 to 20 minutes. Using my old rocking chair. One option. How Pulling from a carousel of choices, prayer, reruns of Friends, mentally cleaning each room in my house, fantasy building my dream home. Okay. Praying for people on my prayer list. I eventually drift off to a peaceful night's sleep knowing I have made good use of my time. Doing yoga. Listening to ASMR videos on YouTube. They really helped after the unexpected loss of my husband last year. Saying the ABCs of gratitude. I name something that begins with each letter of the alphabet that I'm grateful for. And envisioning wind gently blowing through palm trees. All right. From Good Housekeeping, what can I bring? Guests will ask, if you're hosting, here's what to say. Or conversely, if you're a guest, here's some of the things you might want to bring. Number one, always a bottle of wine. Next, containers for leftovers. Next, a favorite board game. Disposable cameras. Conversation starters. A bag of ice. And vinyl or a Spotify playlist. From First for Women in Focus, Sweet News. Maple syrup may protect against Alzheimer's disease. Go ahead and give your pancake stack an extra drizzle. Maple syrup is a boon for brain health. In an animal study in the journal Nutritional Neuroscience, mice given maple syrup extract had reduced brain inflammation and lower levels of a protein linked to Alzheimer's disease. December 17th is National Maple Syrup Day. How about that? Celebrate the natural sweetener that tastes great and contains minerals like calcium, manganese, and zinc. From tree to table, learn exactly how the good stuff is made. No, the sticky liquid doesn't grow on trees, but it does grow in them. Sugar makers harvest maple syrup in late winter and early spring when it's freezing at night but mild during the day. This precise environment allows sap to flow. Makers drill a hole in a maple tree, insert a metal spout, and collect the sap in a bucket or using a tubing system. One tree can yield a whopping 10 gallons of the clear, slightly sweet liquid. The sap then goes into a machine that heats it, making the water evaporate and concentrating the sap into syrup as it turns golden brown. After being filtered and bottled, the product is ready for sale. Here are some sap smarts, 4 classifications, and you can taste them all. First, golden and delicate, usually the first tapped syrup of the season. This sweet, light pour reminds us of pancake syrup. Break it out for brunch. Their rec, 365, by Whole Foods Market. $6 for an 8-ounce bottle. Next, the amber and rich classification. Depending on the brand, this type can taste citrusy and bright, or slightly floral with honey notes. It's an all-purpose pick. Their recommendation, Laurel and Ash Farm brand, $22 for 12.6 ounces. Next, under the dark and robust heading, turn to this caramel-like syrup for everything from roasts to baked goods. It tastes similar to dark brown sugar. Their option, Butternut Mountain Farm, $8 for 8 ounces. And under very dark and strong, produced at the end of the season, it has the strongest maple flavor with burnt sugar or molasses undertones. Their recommendation, Crown Maple Syrup, $17 for 12.7 ounces. Did you know when you are at the grocery store, something called pancake syrup doesn't come from maple trees? It's often a combo of corn syrup and flavorings. It has to say maple syrup, or it's not the real thing. And to go with all that, from Woman's Day, homemade pancake mix. Makes about 5.5 cups. Here's what you need. 5 cups all-purpose flour, 3 tablespoons plus 1 teaspoon baking powder, 1 1/4 teaspoons baking soda, 1 1/4 teaspoons kosher salt. In a large bowl, whisk together flour, baking powder, baking soda, and salt. Store in an airtight container until ready to use, up to 3 months. And to make fluffy pancakes using this homemade pancake mix, active and total time are both 20 minutes, and this makes 8 pancakes. We need 1 cup of whole milk, 1 large egg, 1 tablespoon vegetable oil, 1 cup of the homemade pancake mix, and 1 tablespoon sugar. In a medium bowl or measuring cup, whisk together milk, egg, and oil until smooth. In a large bowl, whisk together pancake mix and sugar. Make a well in the center and gradually whisk in milk mixture until mostly smooth. Some small lumps are okay. Heat a large non-stick skillet or griddle on medium until a drop of water sizzles when dropped in. In batches, add scant 1/4 cupfuls of batter. Cook until surface is bubbly and edges are set, 2 to 3 minutes. With a wide spatula, gently flip. Cook 1 to 2 minutes. Serve right away or keep warm on a baking sheet in a 225-degree oven. Oh, their stack looks really tasty, too. And they offer some variations. For blueberry lemon pancakes, add 2 teaspoons lemon zest and 1/2 teaspoon pure vanilla extract to the wet ingredients. Then fold 1 cup blueberries into the batter. Add 1 minute to the cooking time. For mocha chip, omit the sugar and add 3/4 teaspoon instant espresso powder to the dry ingredients and 1/2 teaspoon pure vanilla extract to wet ingredients, then fold. Then fold 1/2 cup semi-sweet chocolate chips into the batter. And for a winter spice variation, add 1/8 teaspoon each ground cardamom and freshly grated nutmeg to the dry ingredients, and 1/2 teaspoon pure vanilla extract to the wet ingredients. And now I'm officially hungry. From Real Simple, Quick Bites Appetizers. This could be party fare here. Baked feta with olive oil and thyme. Place a 7 or 8 ounce block of feta in a small baking dish. Drizzle with 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil and top with 2 teaspoons fresh thyme leaves. Tuck 2 thyme sprigs next to the feta. Season feta with 2 of pinches each, kosher salt, and freshly ground black pepper. Bake at 400 degrees until the feta is just starting to melt, about 10 minutes. Baste the feta with oil in the pan. Bake for 5 more minutes, then serve with crostini or crackers. Radishes with blue cheese butter. Combine 1/4 cup room temperature unsalted butter, 1/4 cup or 2 ounces mild blue cheese such as Cambozola, and 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt in a small bowl. Mix with a small spoon or spatula until smooth. Serve with washed, trimmed radishes for dipping. Roasted olives with orange peels and fresh oregano. Place 1 cup drained, oil-packed, mixed olives, pitted or unpitted, in a small baking dish, along with 1/4 cup oil from the jar, 2 3-inch strips of orange peel, and 1 or 2 sprigs of fresh oregano. Season with freshly ground black pepper to taste and 1 pinch kosher salt. Roast at 375 until oil is sizzling and olives are heated through 15 to 18 minutes. Serve warm with toothpicks. Fancy potato chips. Arrange potato chips in a single layer on a platter. Top each with a smear of Borzen cheese, preferably garlic and fine herbs variety, and a bite-sized piece of cold smoked salmon. Prosciutto crisps with soft rind cheese and fig jam. Preheat oven to 400. Line a baking sheet with parchment paper. Arrange sliced prosciutto on the baking sheet and bake until crisp, 10 to 12 minutes. Let cool completely. Then break into bite-sized pieces about 1.5 inches wide. Top each piece with a small piece of double or triple cream cheese with a soft rind, such as Brie, Camembert, Saint André, Brillat Savarin, or Delice de Bourgogne, and a half teaspoon fig jam. Next, green pea dip. Place 2 cups thawed frozen peas in a bowl of a food processor, along with 1 tablespoon fresh lemon juice, 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt, and a few grinds of freshly ground black pepper. Process until coarsely pureed, about 10 seconds. With the machine running, pour in 1/4 cup extra virgin olive oil. Process until smooth and creamy. Add more salt and pepper to taste, then transfer to a bowl and refrigerate until firm, at least 15 minutes, and covered for up to 4 hours. Drizzle with more oil and top with more pepper if desired. And their last one, shortcut giardiniera. Place 1 cup thinly sliced fennel, 1 cup jarred cornichons, 1 cup teardrop peppers or jarred peppadew peppers, and about 1/4 cup liquid from each jar in a medium bowl. Toss and set aside, covered at room temperature, tossing occasionally until fennel is lightly pickled, about 2 hours. I must say, these all sound really good, but I have like none of these ingredients in my home already. That is a problem. From Good Housekeeping, white chocolate macadamia nut cookies. Active and total time are both 35 minutes. We need 2 cups flour, 1 teaspoon baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 3/4 cup, which is 1.5 sticks, unsalted butter at room temperature, 2/3 cup packed light brown sugar, 1/3 cup regular white sugar, 1 large egg, 1.5 teaspoons vanilla extract, 6 ounces of white chocolate or white chocolate chips. If you're using the whole, you know, chop it up. 1 cup roasted salted macadamia nuts, chopped. In a medium bowl, whisk together flour, baking soda, and salt. In a stand mixture, beat to get butter and both sugars on medium, scraping bowl halfway through until light and fluffy, about 3 minutes. Beat in egg, then vanilla, scraping bowl as needed with mixer on low. Gradually add flour mixture and mix until just combined. Fold in white chocolate and macadamia nuts, cover with plastic wrap, and refrigerate for 1 hour. Arrange racks in upper and lower thirds of the oven and heat to 350. Line 2 baking sheets with parchment paper. Drop heaping 2 tablespoon portions onto the prepared sheets, 2 inches apart. Bake, rotating sheets and swapping positions on racks halfway through till just set and golden brown, 12 to 14 minutes. Let it cookies cool on sheets 5 minutes, then transfer to wire racks to cool completely. Let baking sheets cool completely before repeating the scooping and baking with the remaining dough. You can reuse the parchment. And this makes 25 to 30. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. We're available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening. See you next time.